in my kitchen. Prayers are to be raining out the door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. And you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Hope you've had a good weekend. I'm going to venture a guess and say, bet it was busy. There were so many things to do this weekend. I wanted to be in four places at once, not just two. So did you make it to the Gravenstein Apple Fair? Did you hit your favorite farmer's markets? Just so much going on and more coming up. It's the busy season. Before we get started, I just have to give a couple shout-outs. First of all, to the crew at Woodenhead Winery. I've just come from there. We had a fabulous luau there today. Zena Bauer was here on Mouthful last weekend, and we were talking a little bit about it and about the winery itself. And it was just, first of all, what a great day. What, 10 or 15 degrees cooler than yesterday, which was wonderful. Faith Akko played, and it's funny, she's really hard-working lady, that Faith Akko. She is now at the French Garden. She had just enough time to leave Woodenhead Winery, run over to the French Garden restaurant for sound check, and she's now just starting her dinner concert. So anyway, it was a really, really lovely event. Everyone involved in putting it on did a great job. And a special shout-out to Efren Carrillo, his office, and Susan Upchurch, his aide, who came to our rescue when several thousand, I think, plumeria blossoms that were shipped over from Molokai were being held at the FedEx office because they couldn't reach an agricultural commissioner. So we managed to rouse an inspector, thanks to Susan, and we got those flowers, and we had lovely laymaking throughout the luau today, so that was really great. And now tonight on Mouthful, there's more food. And there's an event coming up, and it is coming up next Sunday, August 19th. And I believe, if I have this right, it is the first Jewish food festival.
Yes.
Shomrei Torah, Congregation Shomrei Torah. Well, I know we've talked about the cookbook, Oi to Joy, recipes from our wine country kitchens. We talked about that, and I've written about that. But now there is a food festival, so tell me about this. I should introduce everybody. We have Larry Carlin, Shirley Lieberman, and Ronnie Campagna. Welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, what's happening with the festival?
It is the first ever in Sonoma County Jewish food festival. It's never been done before. And our congregation actually sent people to go and check out other food festivals. I think there were Stockton and Carmel.
And Sacramento.
Jewish food festivals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
have been going for over 30 years in those places.
They wanted to do it right. And, I mean, they sent a lot of people. And they made notes. And what you'll see a week from tomorrow is the best of the best of what they had to offer. And a lot of hardworking people. We've got over 200 people in our congregation working on this event. Yeah.
You know, and as soon as you say it, it's like, well, yes, of course. Why hasn't this happened before? So what are the particulars? It's 10 to 3, and where is it taking place?
At the congregation.
Oh, at the congregation.
Yeah. It's 2600 Bennett Valley Road. Mm-hmm. It's three blocks east of the fairgrounds.
Okay.
And it's a lot of people... know it as the congregation up on the hill.
Okay.
And so that's where we're located. Yeah, it's no cost to get in.
Oh.
And it's open to the public.
Uh-huh.
We're expecting a lot of people that aren't Jewish, because
mm-hmm.
this is something that you really don't have to be Jewish to attend.
Right, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
Just have to like food.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. And... it's the sort of thing where you buy tasting tickets, or how does that part work? Okay.
Yes, they have the Yiddish word for money is geld, so you have to buy geld tickets.
Okay.
And exchange that, and we have the cost will be posted.
Okay.
And for the different items, and yeah.
Cool. And then let's see some of the things that are listed here: corned beef sandwiches.
Yeah.
Latkes. You know, I'm all about the savory side of things. That's my main interest, is the savory side. I mean, there's nothing like really great corned beef.
Corned beef has been specifically chosen by Steve Rose of Vineyards Inn on Highway 12.
Oh.
He chose the actual cow. Which
really?
I hate to say, but
that's okay.
Sort of puts me off. But yeah, the actual animal.
The steer, probably.
Yes, as it's beef, right? And he is corning it for us that weekend.
Oh, wow.
And then he's
great.
Actually slicing it for us. So it will all be all there and ready and prepared for Sunday. I have to say that they're also arranging to give good portions. I think there's a half pound of beef in each sandwich.
7 ounces.
I thought it went up to 8.
I don't know. I thought the last time I heard it was seven.
Actually, looking, I have a cheat sheet here
in front
of me.
Cool.
And there will be 350 pounds of corned beef.
Wow.
So hopefully enough to feed everybody who shows up.
I'd say get there early.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think a corned beef sandwich for breakfast sounds perfectly fine. So 10 o'clock, line up for your corned beef. What are some of the other savory dishes that are on the menu? And I'm going to get you a little bit closer to the mic.
Sure.
There you go.
Okay. We have we will have lox and cream cheese, tomatoes and capers, and really good bagels from Café des Croissants. We have the corned beef will be served on marbled rye bread.
That's also
and that's
being
from Full
that
Circle.
Yeah.
It's
being baked freshly for us.
And the lox also is being cured locally.
Oh, really? Do you know who's doing that?
I do. It is North Coast Fisheries.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then the meat is being corned by Golden Gate Meats.
Oh, yes. Okay. Lots of partners.
And all of that has been, Steve Rose has been really fantastic about connecting us with the best.
Cool.
And local.
Uh-huh. All local, yeah.
Yeah, that's really great to actually get to choose the steer.
Yeah.
You know? That's really, I mean, when you think about that, it's like if you're on a plane, you know, and you're in, just bear with me here, you're on a plane and you're in economy class and you're just like, you're totally anonymous. You have no identity. And I always think about all of the poor steer in feedlots and the miserable lives, and it's like economy class on a plane. And when you pay all that money to be in business or first class, you're really paying to have an identity. Mm-hmm. And so the steer, who's going to meet the same fate, gets to have a nice, unique life until, you know, it's time to be meat.
It's a thought. It's a thought.
You know, I just go off that way sometimes.
And we appreciate the steer.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I do think individuality counts. It might be a stretch of an analogy. It works for my weird brain. But, you know, I think individuality, being unique, as we all are, and being treated that way is a good thing. And I'm really glad to know, you know, that's happening at this festival. I think it's really cool.
We hope it will justify that.
We have to be careful for some of us who live with one non-meat eaters and pet people who are probably not quite so excited about that idea.
You know that.
Although we should ask, Steve for. The name of the cow, I think.
Yeah. And you know, are contradictions.
No. I don't want the name of the cow.
There are contradictions in existence that just cannot be resolved.
Correct.
You know, there are.
And for people who don't want to eat this familiar cow, we have latkes. People are interested in having choices that are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And so the latkes are gluten-free, homemade.
Tell me the big deal about latkes. I mean, I like them, but they're so essential. Like if you're Jewish
tradition.
Stories,
it's
you know.
Tradition.
There's.
It's about the oil.
Oh.
Because they're traditional for Hanukkah.
Uh-huh.
And the story of Hanukkah is the miraculous oil
that lasted eight days.
Uh-huh. Right. And in Eastern Europe, where most of our ancestors lived, they didn't have very much money and they didn't have very much food, and potatoes were cheap.
Oh, okay.
And so the potatoes fried with onions are very, you know, all of us grew up with that. So when you smell it, it reminds you of your childhood. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why they're served with applesauce and sour cream, but they are. And we have homemade applesauce that was made by one of our members. And Strauss donated the sour cream.
Oh.
The butter.
More locals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
And Strauss dairy products are just so
great.
Fine.
Great.
Oh, it's just amazing. That's the butter that I brought for you to have with the challah is Strauss organic butter.
Wonderful.
By the way, one quick thing about the sour cream and applesauce. A lot of it is based on the country you're from or where your ancestors were.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, we had only applesauce, and we didn't have the sour cream. And it was later, you know, meeting other Jews that we knew that you could use both of them, actually.
Okay. Now, I hear endless arguments about the best what. How do you make the best latkes? Is that controversial?
You grind your nail, your fingers into them. A little bit of blood helps.
Oh, that sounds like when you grate the potatoes.
That's a Jewish
thing.
So
that your knuckles go into it.
I understand that, believe me. A little extra protein.
Actually, I grew up without either applesauce or sour cream, just the latkes, but we had them.
Which nothing with them?
No, just the latkes. They were wonderful. Mm. But we had them as kids. But later, one of my favorite memories of latkes was we used to go to the football games in England. I grew up in England, and we go to the football games. It didn't matter what the weather was, raining, snowing, whatever, freezing, and we'd come home to one of my friends, walked in the door, and her father would have latkes going for us, and it warmed us up. Yeah. Hot latkes as you walked in the door. It was a fantastic, fantastic treat.
Well, I love latkes, you know, and I think I make decent ones.
Good.
I mean, I think I make good fried potato, grated potatoes. I've never had anyone, you know, judge them, but I like them. So there's more going on. You've got a deli, you've got takeout, you have a bakery. There are kids' activities,
right.
And there will also be synagogue tours.
Correct.
Which is, tell me about that.
Well, our A synagogue is about 4 years old.
It is 4 years old,
and we are very proud of it. It's all local people were involved architecturally and with the staining of the windows, and it's really quite something to see.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would like to take tours, so we thought we'll just make them available.
Oh, what a nice thing to do.
During the day, and we'll have people from the synagogue who are part of the host and hostesses who will take people on the tours. It's worth going in to see the sanctuary, because it's quite beautiful.
Well, this makes me think...
Our senior rabbi, actually, is taking the tours. He's leading them all.
Oh, it's Rabbi George.
Rabbi George Gittleman.
Oh, great.
Is going to be leading the tours and giving... quote, a brief history of Judaism now. It's sort of a history of Shomrei Torah as much as anything. Cool. And giving a sort of a guideline to what we are, who we are. As Larry just said, a lot of people have not seen that building. They just know it as the building up on the hill, you know, opposite the fairgrounds.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people would like to see it, have said that, and this is a good opportunity to not only just see it, but be introduced to it, and visit the sanctuary, and be instructed by the rabbi a little bit.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the views from the top are exquisite, you have a 360-degree view. One of it is right over the fairgrounds, so you can hear all the stuff. I was up there the other day for a meeting, and you can hear all the cool stuff going on from the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
It was fun. Uh-huh. It's fun. But it's really a great view. It's just worth going up and seeing it.
Yeah, and having those tours, it calls to mind the Teriyaki Sunday at the Buddhist temple.
Very similar.
And also the Glendi Festival.
Right.
Oh.
Where they give tours.
They were part of the whole idea originally that a lot of other congregations put together a festival that celebrates them, their own self, their traditions, their foods, their ideas, and that was how the idea came up.
Yeah, it's so nice to see it in context, you know, with something other than just the eating and drinking, but to have that broader context, I think is really nice.
We also have a lot of entertainment that will also introduce Jewish music, melodies as well. All of the entertainers, and we have quite a variety, will have some Jewish involvement in context as well.
Well, why don't we take a little musical break since we're talking about entertainment, and we'll be right back and talk about those details.
Thank you.
You're listening to Mouthful. The topic this evening is the upcoming Jewish Food Festival. My guests, Larry Carlin, Shirley Lieberman, and Ronnie Campagna of Congregation Shomrei Torah. Am I saying it right?
Shomrei Torah.
Shomrei Torah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you. Now, we were going to talk about the entertainment. So you have
yes.
Jewish entertainment throughout the day?
Yes, we have.
No, I was just going to say it's sort of Jewish related, but like one of the key groups is Robert Ethington, Robert and Amy Ethington, who I don't believe are Jewish, but they do some really great music. A lot of it's original, and he's got a website which he lists honest songs for complex times. His last CD was Growing and Dying. I had the good fortune of seeing him and Robert and Amy and three other piece group play at the Woody Guthrie concert recently.
Oh, nice.
And they knocked the socks off of the people there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing just the two of them. And I think, are they the opening?
They are the opening. Yeah, they start at 10 o'clock until 11:15. They're doing an hour and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite, but it's like, they start out 10 till 11:15. That I loved one of the quotes that were given about them, actually, and it says that he describes his own music as tickling the mind while calming the soul.
Yeah.
I loved that. I just loved that quote. We follow them then. Actually, we very recently hired a cantor, a full-time professional cantor at Shomrei Torah. And he is cantor Stephen Abelson. And he is then going to sing. He has a lovely tenor voice. And he came from Minnesota to join us here. And he's very happy to be in Sonoma County. And he will be singing Hebrew and Israeli folk songs and traditional Jewish melodies, accompanied on a keyboard by Yvonne Warmer, who is helping actually in other ways at the synagogue as well. He will actually sing twice during the day. He'll sing at 11:15 and then again at 1 o'clock. And in the meantime, we have a group called Mama Loshen, which actually means mother tongue in Hebrew, or Yiddish. We're not really sure. Nobody's quite sure whether it's Yiddish or Hebrew, but it means mother tongue. And that's led by Gail Kissin, who is very well known around here. She and her group have been very popular for quite some time. Laura Lippin will be on the accordion, Suzanne Schonbaum on guitar, and Rhonda Findling on percussion. And this group has performed to enthusiastic response throughout the Bay Area. And they offer what they call a delicious musical concoction of traditional Hebrew melodies, Yiddish folk songs, and Ladino and Israeli melodies as well. So that's a different type of music to each of the others.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs will be quite a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
Then Stephen, our cantor, returns at 1 o'clock to 1:30. And then we have this wonderful group called Swing Set, which is a jazz combo of six students from Maria Carrillo High School.
Oh, nice.
They're out of their jazz band up there. They are providing a wide variety of styles, including swing, bebop, Latin, blues, jazz standards, and improvisational music. The group is led by Gabe Gladstein. I couldn't say that, sorry. Gabe Gladstein on violin, Zach Lever on keyboard, Justice Jones on vibes, Brett Mateos on bass, Connor Rutten on sax, and Sydney Sullivan on drums. That's going to be really fun. They're going to be playing for about an hour and a half in the afternoon. But they also will include some Jewish melodies so that we have a Jewish theme throughout the entire day.
But as you should.
Yes, absolutely.
As you should.
That's the name of the festival.
That's right.
Then actually at a similar, same sort of timing but different method, we have at 1:15 for 45 minutes, Israeli and klezmer dancing.
Oh, yay.
Yes, yes. You should be there for that one. Yeah, you should really be there. That's led by Roberta Berg, who's done that quite a lot. Mm-hmm. She's excellent. Accompanied by Sonia Turbidy, who's also well known around here, on the accordion. She's a very professional accordionist. And the tours of the building. Those are the sort of the ideas other than the food. Mm-hmm. We also have an online auction that will be taking place.
Okay.
The computers will be set up in one of the rooms for the online auction that people can go onto from the 18th, I think, for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
There's loads of wonderful auction items. A home in Hawaii, a condo in Kona, plane ride. We have a load of online auctions. I don't remember them all. But there's a lot. You can also go onto the website at any time and see those items.
And Shomreitora. It's shomreitora.org. And as I always do, I will give all of that again at the end of the hour. So don't worry, you'll get it as you usually do here on Mouthful. But shomreitora.org, and you can start looking at details about all this. And you know, we no longer have to say triple W.
Everybody knows it.
Well, not just that.
You don't need it.
You don't need it.
Computers no longer want you to put it in yourself.
Oh.
It's automated. It's built in. Right. So we don't need to say that anymore.
Thank you. So, I didn't know that.
One less thing to think about.
Yes. Again, this is all happening on August 19th. Well, you have brought a lot of things to eat and drink, and we should probably pay some attention to those things. So here's something that's enshrouded. Do you want to tell me about
that's
this?
That's a lox and bagel.
You brought me lox and bagel?
Cream cheese and capers and tomatoes.
Oh, look at that beautiful thing.
The bagel is from Café de Croissants, which are going to be furnishing the bagels for us. Unfortunately, our lox and as the cream cheese, do you have that with you, Ronnie, or not?
No.
Oh, okay. So the lox and cream cheese won't be here until Thursday. So that will be.
Who's doing the cream cheese? Who's that from?
I know. Miss Gina Marie.
I was going to ask you if it was Gina Marie.
Yes.
From Sierra Nevada.
So we picked some pretty good vendors.
It is fabulous. Yeah. And that, again, Steve Rose was able to procure for us. And it's arriving during the week, so it's fresh.
Yes, all the good chefs.
The lox is
curing probably as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yes.
It's not going to be like the store-bought lox.
Just to let you know how we made some of these decisions, we wanted this to be a Jewish event, but we also wanted it to be uniquely Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. And in Sonoma County, people want the best of everything, especially food. So we really searched to find excellent products when we were buying the products, and excellent ingredients when we were making the products.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you for that. That's a really great thing to know. Not all food festivals do that. You know. So.
Well, in fact, originally,
the food is not equal at all of them, that's for sure.
Originally, based on other food festivals, we were planning on doing a lot of the baking in advance and freezing. Mm-hmm. And the workshop leaders said, you know, I don't serve frozen food to my friends. Can we do it right before the event?
Yeah.
So there is going to be a baking frenzy this week.
Right.
But it's all going to be fresh and it's all delicious.
So it looks like here on the plate we have challah. We have, is this arugula?
Yes. And that was made today. We made 200 of them today.
Wow. And this is...
It's matzah called toffee. Matzah toffee. All of...
Oh, I was going to say, it looks like matzah, but then this looks like...
With chocolate and almonds. Yeah, chocolate.
Okay. Almond.
And many of the recipes that we used came from the cookbook.
Came from the book,
which
okay.
is why the book is here.
Okay.
That's a flourless chocolate cake.
Excellent. So let's talk about challah and its importance, because that's something else you see a lot. At certain times, don't you see challah at around Easter, Passover?
No,
no,
no. That's when you don't.
You're not allowed
you
to
don't
eat.
Say that.
You know what it is? I'm getting it mixed up with something that you do see at Easter that is shiny like challah. Not necessarily in Jewish.
No, no,
not Jewish. No, but yeah.
No,
around
some
that
sort
holiday,
of Easter bread.
Some sort of Easter bread that has the glaze on it. That makes me think of it.
Mm-hmm.
So no, of course you don't see it at that time of year. That I know. So when do you see it? Is it...
Every Friday night.
Every Friday night.
Oh, okay.
It's part of Shabbat services. Where
you can see how I like mine.
where you loaded with butter.
That is the best way to eat challah, with good butter.
Bread is really but a vehicle for the butter that we need to eat.
Yeah, right.
Would you tell that to my doctor, please,
yes,
Michelle?
Actually, your doctor should know that, and I will.
Okay.
I will.
That's a deal.
It's a source of extremely important nutrients, and not just a source. It is a vehicle to get your body to absorb the nutrients, and there are at least 17 essential micronutrients that are found only in the fat of ruminants, and one of them is butyric acid. Butyric acid facilitates in the formation of brain neurons, and it has been shown both in studies and in the laboratory to inhibit and reverse the growth of tumors. It's actually very, very good for you, and there's continuing new research about butter and other animal fats. It's really, really important.
Where would be the best place I can refer my doctor to look this stuff
okay,
up?
I will
seriously, because I'd like to see it for myself.
One good source is westonaprice.org.
Okay.
They have a lot of information. They sort of, one thing that they do is serve as sort of a nutritional research clearinghouse. They're a very good source for a lot of research done about soy and some of the negative impacts of soy, but they're also a great resource for raw milk. And I should say about the butter and the fat of ruminants, there's a qualification. It should be from grass-fed ruminants, not corn-fed, organic, because everything, all the nutrients, for example, concentrate in the fat, but so do environmental toxins. So you want that sunlight that becomes grass that then becomes the concentrated nutrients in the fat. So there's tons of research out there, and some doctors are now starting to pay attention to it.
Wow.
So,
I'm glad I came here today.
There you go.
For many reasons.
So this challah is really good. So is the butter.
that challah is made by one of our congregants, whose name is Joy Danzig. And she holds challah workshops, and they've done all the challah for the event.
Mm-hmm.
And she's quite good.
Not just quite good. She's marvelous.
She's better than
she's
quite
fantastic.
Good. Yeah, she is.
That's how we've done all of the baking for the food festival. In workshops, because another one of our goals was to build community.
Uh-huh. It's a great idea to have those kinds of have workshops like that.
Yeah, so it's really fun. Today we did the rugula, and I had four people I never met before who came to my house and just sort of got right into it, and it was really fun. By the end of the day, we were friends.
Yeah, of course. That's great. So
my house, they were doing... cheesecake cookies.
Oh, really?
So it's like everybody's involved.
Involved.
Four people.
So let's take a little bite. Normally, I would be chowing down a lot more than I am, but actually...
came back from your luau.
The luau, and I did eat. Now, I'm very, very fond of rugla. They're one of my favorite sweets. And when I was, long ago, when I was working in a cafe, in Cotati. A woman came in once a week, once or twice a week, maybe, with arugula, and we filled up the cookie jar.
Cool.
Those things sold, and they were so good.
That's wonderful.
Mm. Talk about, for people who don't know what arugula is.
Well, what Ronnie just mentioned, I think, was an important element of the food festival altogether, and that was that we felt that we needed to increase the awareness of Jewish culture and food and the traditions of Jews in Sonoma County. We are the largest synagogue in Sonoma County, a Reform synagogue. There are other synagogues. But we just felt that there's not a lot of awareness of who Jews are, what our traditions are, and especially about our foods. And this was a wonderful opportunity to do that. And as we said, to bring people in, both Jews and non-Jews, mm-hmm. are very welcome, and I think would find it very interesting and hopefully, you know, food-wise as well.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have like a Jewish deli in Sonoma County, do
not
we?
Not really.
We don't. We don't even have a very good Jewish deli in San Francisco, quite honestly.
No. Not left.
Or
no,
in the North Bay. It's almost like you have to go to either New York, L.A., where I come from.
Los Angeles has one that, does it start with an L? Somebody's told me about one.
Well, there's Nate and Al's in Beverly Hills, but there's a chain of Jerry's. Jerry's?
Cantor's, too.
Jerry's Deli.
Yeah, and there's Cantor's.
Los Angeles. Well, Cantor's is the original one. That
Brent's.
Goes back to the 30s. And all the Hollywood stars used to go to Cantor's. I was actually there on a trip back to visit recently, and the food was still pretty good.
And what about in New York?
New York is great. I'm a New Yorker, so L.A. is sort of like a step down.
Of course.
Yeah, they look down their noses at us. We understand.
And I'm with you.
And growing up in New York, all of this food was so readily available.
Oh, yeah.
And I think for some of us, there's the nostalgia element. The mm-hmm. reason that I bake as much as I do is, and I worked for a very long time to perfect the arugula recipe. The dough comes from the cookbook, and I played around with the filling because I'm a believer that if you can put chocolate in something, you should. But arugula seems to be, I'm not sure there's any real significance, mm-hmm. but it is a Jewish delicacy. Usually the dough, there are three kinds of arugula dough. Either cream cheese based, cream cheese, butter, flour, and there's usually no sugar in the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And some, I grew up, my mother's recipe was sour cream and butter and flour. And then the Israeli style is a yeast dough, a sweetened yeast dough.
Mm-hmm.
This dough is sour cream, which is from Strauss, and butter and cream cheese, and talk about clogging your arteries, and flour. The filling is, and this is also, usually there's some of this, but we just decided to put it all in. It's apricot jam, and then a mixture of chocolate chips, walnuts, cocoa, cinnamon, and sugar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you please tell us it's good for us?
Yes.
I just have to say this. I am not a arugula fan, but I happened to visit Ronnie's a few weeks back. They were doing a workshop on that, and I had them coming right out of the oven, and those are like dynamite.
Yeah.
I mean, those are really... I don't know, something about the apricot jam and the chocolate meeting in the middle there, something. But it was, anyway, I think Ronnie is quite the baker, obviously.
Really good. Now, you also have two bottles of wine sitting on the table.
We do.
So is there going to be, what is there going to be to drink at the festival?
We're going to have wine. We're having beer from Lagunitas. I actually have two bottles of kosher wine, but we're not serving kosher wine at the festival. One of the people that we're working with is one of the distributors, so we're having a variety of you know, Sonoma County and other red and white wines. But right here we have a this brand is called Baron Herzog, and I have a Cabernet Sauvignon and a Sauvignon Blanc.
Let's try the Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
And while we do that, what makes a wine kosher? Okay, go ahead.
It's actually strictly kosher is very difficult because it can, the grapes can only be picked by Orthodox Jews. The whole process has to be done under the supervision of a rabbi who then will give it a kosher stamp. It has to, the whole process is a little more complicated than our usual winery process. Uh-huh. I don't know the entire process, but I do know it has to be picked by Jewish
Orthodox
grape pickers. Which is amazing to me. I didn't know we had that many in Sonoma County.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
That's probably why we don't have an awful lot of kosher wine mm-hmm. in Sonoma County. And this is not like the wines that we used to think of as Jewish
You're
wines.
You're anticipating these, my next question. No, that's great.
These are not Manischewitz.
These are real wine.
These are palatable wines.
Well, you know, it seems to me that kosher wines may be getting to be about where organic wines have gotten. Because mm-hmm. for quite a while, I know when Davis Bynum, I believe it was doing organic wines quite a while ago, but they had such a bad reputation that they weren't even putting it on the label.
That's right.
And I feel like that kosher wine has grown up similarly.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think when you try this, you're just about to try it, you'll find it's not what you thought kosher wine might
be. Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah.
No, and I've had over the last few years, I've had a few kosher wines, all of which have been quite good.
And there are quite a few wineries in Israel now, and Israeli wine is being imported to the United States as well.
Yeah, I think it's Haas Zayir's Flytrap.
I love that place.
Yeah, I think he has added some. I mean, he purchased it. I forget when he purchased it, but he's a very nice man, possibly from Iran, I think. And I interviewed him about foods to go with Moroccan foods from that whole region. And he talked about some of the Israeli wines that he has on the menu there. Yeah. So, it's really growing. I mean, wine all over the world is growing up, really.
Yeah.
And people with it. This is nice. This is a very nice Sauvignon Blanc.
Good.
This is not my grandmother's wine, not my
Did Bobby drink sweet wine?
We had Manischewitz when I was a kid growing up.
I think that's the first one I ever tasted.
Really?
Yeah, I had Jewish cousins by marriage for a brief time, and I went to synagogue with them.
Oh, cool.
And went to synagogue, celebrated Hanukkah, did a few of those things before my uncle and their mother got divorced and then lost track of them.
Right, fleeting Judaism.
Yes, fleeting. But it was very interesting. And it was very interesting being at synagogue. It would have been on a Friday night, right?
Right.
Yes, I liked the way the rabbi called on individual people
in the congregation.
Kids and other people would call them by name and say specific things to them, and people would stand up. And I just found it very, very relaxed, but not casual, if that makes sense.
Would you like to come to a service?
I was just thinking
we'd be very happy to invite you to
we
a
have
service.
Food after the service.
We'll talk.
You can never have a function anywhere with Jews that doesn't include food. That's absolutely an unwritten law. So there's always food at every service.
I mean, that's part of what is so endearing.
It's hard to be angry over good food, right?
Absolutely.
Michelle, one of the things that we're also planning to have that we didn't mention before is Sonoma Brinery Pickles.
Ooh.
And those are all being donated.
Oh, great.
So that's pretty exciting. And
gotta have pickles with corned beef sandwiches.
And I don't know if you've had those pickles. They used to be called Manhattan Pickles.
I have to see, you know, I have to actually look at the label.
Okay.
There's two.
It's in a plastic
yes,
tub.
Yes, I have. Yes,
and
I have.
They're very
yes,
good.
Yes, they are. I've had a number of, they do a number of products, right?
Right.
Number
right.
of brine products. Yeah,
right.
I've actually been wanting to have them on the show. So if I come to the festival, I can get contact information.
Yes, absolutely.
We should, picking up what Shirley began with, I would like to extend an invitation to you. To come sometime, and maybe we'll find something that we're doing that is especially interesting that you that you might find interesting, and because I think we're a Reform synagogue. You know, there's a Reform, Conservative, Orthodox. So the Reform congregations are considerably more open.
Are you the left wingers?
We.
Progressive is the word.
Yeah, we're progressive.
Liberal.
We're more liberal. And
very fond of the word progressive. It works for me, and it tells me a lot.
But that's pretty much are.
It's on our webpage.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
great.
And it's a very important part of our congregation, doing a lot of good in the community. Mm-hmm. There's a Hebrew phrase called Tikkun Olam, which means repair the world.
Uh-huh.
And we do a lot of work in that area. We have a social action committee, which is very, very
active
and does a lot of work with the Committee for Immigrant Rights.
You know, you guys are great at anticipating my questions, because the next thing I wanted to ask was, what does the congregation do in the community?
Okay.
What is your work in the community?
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
You're asking the right person.
That's great.
I was co-chair of that committee for about the last 7 years, and myself and my co-chair resigned, and we've been replaced by a wonderful retired professor from Sonoma State named Madeline Rose. And so I do know many of the stuff we work on. We work, as I said, with the Committee for Immigrant Rights for gay. I'm mixing my groups, but for a responsible immigration program, we do a lot of support for people. One of the groups was the Muslim-Jewish Dialogue Group, which we started about 3 years ago.
Oh, great.
And we got together and found an imam in the North Bay. And we met, and we have been meeting. I think it'll be 2.5 years now. We're in December. It'll be the end of the third year.
Mm-hmm.
We meet once a month. We do dinners together. We do we have speakers. We will actually have a picnic coming up where everybody brings their kids and grandkids.
Oh, what a great thing!
And we do
thing.
It at one of the local parks.
You know, one of the things I've wanted to do here on Mouthful, and I've wanted to just explore because I'm a curious type, and that is kosher and halal. There's just so much similarity between the two.
Oh, yeah, very similar.
And I didn't realize anything about halal until I was in Malaysia, and then suddenly it was halal everywhere, so I started asking.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I learned, I was like, well, this is so like kosher. And I just thought there was a Middle Eastern shop in Rennert Park that closed, and they carried a lot of halal things, so I've been looking for somebody who could, you know, talk about that. So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important. I mean, I think we all have so many more similarities than we have differences that it's just so good to embrace those intersections between us.
And that's one of the reasons why this event came about, mm-hmm. because we want to open our home to the community and share the similarities,
mm-hmm.
and really see this as an open house.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and you know, I'm going to really encourage people, a lot of people, to go. I think it's going to be a success. I think this is one of those things, like we said when we first started talking, as soon as you hear it, it's like, of course, I can't believe it's the first.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, the time came a while ago and now it's happening, and that's really great. One thing, just a little bit about this book. Will the book be for sale?
Yes.
Okay, and again, it's Oi to Joy. It's a really fun book. Are you going to do another one?
We don't know.
It's a lot of work, wasn't it?
We still got some of these to sell.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a lot of work. It was a lot of fun also. Mm-hmm. It would really be great if we could do another one, mm-hmm. because there are many more recipes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
now you have the festival, you know. You have the festival to maybe even sort of anchor another book in the festival.
Right.
That's a good idea.
But we did it backwards this time. We chose recipes from the cookbook,
mm-hmm.
so that we could connect the cookbook with the food that people are eating.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a really great idea. One thing we haven't talked about yet, and we're running out of time, there's going to be activities for kids.
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Jumpy house, of course.
Okay.
There will be face painting, drawing tables, painting tables. There's a whole area, especially for food, foods for children too, that will be there. There's a whole area that has been devoted to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And they've tried to come up with everything that they could think of, I think. Mm-hmm.
Some games,
a place for them to run.
We have a children's playground as well.
Right.
We do have one up at the building,
yeah.
So that the kids can run around that as well. But the area where this will be predominantly things that they can do there.
Right there.
Either seated or eating some of their foods and just having fun.
And getting
fun.
To know other kids,
yes.
which they do so quickly.
Yeah, they do.
We have a large school, or a large... a number of children at our religious school.
We have a Hebrew,
I think we have like 135 children.
Uh-huh.
K-8.
Now, is that a full-time school or is it a school
augments? No, it's an augmented school,
okay.
Yes.
I was going to say you had me and my grandsons at Jumpy House because I was at the Gravenstein Apple Fair today with my two grandsons, and we couldn't get them out of there. I mean, they were just, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's
a
big seller.
It's a real big thing.
How old are they?
The oldest is going to be 4, and the youngest is going to be 2. They're 2 years apart.
Great age for
jumpy. They're a little younger than your
grandchild. Great age for, but I remember that.
Yeah.
Great age for jumpy houses.
Yeah. Really big.
And let's see, is there anything that we haven't tried, we haven't talked about? We should say, again, we're not going to try the Cabernet because we're running out of time.
Sure.
But it's Baron Herzog. The Cabernet is Central Coast, and so is the Sauvignon Blanc. So there you go.
Correct.
And let's run over this all again. The Jewish Food Fest is taking place next Sunday, August 19th. It takes place from 10 until 3 at 2600 Bennett Valley Road. If you need more information, this phone number, 578-5519. If you're not in Sonoma County, that's area code 707-578-5519. The website, and there's going to be for continuing for 2 weeks, there will be an online auction at shomreitorah.org, shomreitorah.org. Remember, you can always email me at catsmilk@sonic.net if you miss something, and I will really try to get this up on Mouthful's page. This evening, and you can read about it in my column Mouthful, which comes out on Friday. So I want to thank my guests, Larry Carlin, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Shirley Lieberman, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And Ronnie Campagna, thank you for your generosity
in
bringing things.
Thank you for having us.
Well, it's been really great, and I will be there.
Good.
You know,
awesome.
I will be there. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope it is a great success.
As we Jews say, es gesunte heit. That means eat in good health.
Thank you very much. And the same goes for you. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, here on KRCB. Have a great week. Okay. Now we've got...
story. Well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Let's go.